Starting a new series, Identity Theft. And it's something that's been on my heart for a long time. Because I'll be honest with you, I get very, very tired of watching Christians live these defeated, deflated kind of lives, really failing to comprehend what our true worth is as Christians. And end up living these lives where they feel like they're less than. And the scripture we're going to use kind of as a basis for this series is 1 Peter 2:9. Peter writes, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." We sang about that a little bit earlier. You know, if you're a Christian, the creator of this universe, he created, the God that created the planets, the God that created the stars, says that about you. He says you're chosen. That you are a royal priesthood in ministry. You're holy. You're God's prized possession. That's what God says about you. And the problem that we have is that in this world, there's a lot of spam out there. And I am not talking about the sodium-laden, cholesterol-packed mystery meat in a can. All right? How many of you ever had spam? I actually like spam, but that's not what we're talking about today. How many of you have an email account? All right. Everybody that's alive, I think, has one. But spam is the junk mail that you receive, that unsolicited messages that kind of flood into the inbox on a regular basis. I mean, it's almost overwhelming. This world is full of spam. And the problem is we listen to the spam. And instead of identifying it and going, "That's junk," we take it in. In fact, we take it in as truth. You know, Jesus said, he said, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will" what? "Set you free." That's what truth does. And I believe it's time that we reclaim, as Christians, the truth of who we are in Jesus Christ. You know, if you listen to the world's spam long enough, it starts raising a lot of questions. Like, are you beautiful enough? Are you thin enough? You know, for more than four decades, do you want to guess what was considered the perfect image for a young girl? Barbie. Somebody said, I heard Barbie out here. Yeah, Barbie. But get this, and I'm not into whether I hate Barbie or love Barbie, all that stuff, but a recent study said Barbie's been knocked off the throne. Victoria's Secret is the new image. Yeah, that's what I kind of went, ugh. You know, as a society, people struggle with self-image today, self-esteem. In fact, I would argue that there is an identity crisis, and culture and all that's spam and all that's garbage, all that's junk, is the thief and has just stolen it. Now, a recent survey said that 70% of women feel depressed, guilty, and ashamed after looking at a fashion magazine, get this, for 3 minutes. Now, guys, are you handsome enough? Are you muscular enough? You know, some of you guys can identify with this. I remember when I was in college, and it's happened many times since, but you know, working out. When I was in college, I was lifting weights, you know, in front of the mirror. Got that 80, 85-pound bar doing curls. Okay, it was 40-pound bar, but, you know, whatever. But I'm doing the curls. I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm kind of ripped. I look good. Why are we laughing? Seriously. Be kind. Be kind. I'm working out, and this guy comes up to the station next to me. I mean, he's huge. He's working out with like 200-pound bar, you know? And I'm thinking, I'm not ripped. I'm ripped off here. I am ripped off. I mean, in a nanosecond, all the confidence, all the self-assurance, all the joy is gone. You know, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? Not me. I mean, how do you measure up, friends? How do you measure up in a world that sets unrealistic standards and is obsessed with the outward appearance? And if you meet that standard, let me ask you, what's the beauty quotient inside? Because I believe we buy into a lie that living and looking a certain way, that being attractive enough, that we'll be fulfilled, that we'll be accepted, that we'll be admired, that we'll be loved because of that. And what we do is we trade in the truth for the world's spam, for the world's lie. And it's the kind of thing that Jesus Christ was warning us about. He's saying, be careful, John 10:10. He says, the thief comes only in order to kill, or to steal, kill, and destroy. He just says, I've come in order that you might have life, life in all of its fullness. Friends, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see someone that's beautiful? Do you see someone that's handsome? Do you see someone that's loved by God just the way you are? I mean, what do you see? Because I believe God wants us to see the beauty that's inside, regardless of our body type, regardless of our image. You know, God wants us to see someone that is created in his image. There's a lot of spam out there, isn't there? A lot of lies. It's been that way since the beginning of creation. You know, I believe the evil one was really hell-bent on distorting our image. You know, Scripture says that God created man and woman. He created Adam and Eve in his image. He patterned them after himself. And Scripture says that after God created them, that he stepped back, he admired his creation. He said, this is very good. This is very good. Adam and Eve, they were naked. There's no shame. They're walking, talking with God, talking with each other. Scripture says things were good. And then the evil one entered the garden. The evil one was a thief. The evil one came to steal Adam and Eve's identity. I would argue that he stole our identity at the same time. You know, the evil one, he was cunning. He was smart. Came as a serpent. But friends, he came to steal. Came to steal. He asked Adam and Eve, he says, did God really say that you must not eat of any trees in the garden? See, he's raising questions. That's what the evil one does. He raises questions. He's been doing it since the very beginning. Oh, come on now. Did God really say he loves you? Did God really say that you're acceptable the way you are? Did God really say that you matter? That you're fearfully, wonderfully made? Did God say that you are the apple of his eye? Did he say you shouldn't eat of these trees? And Eve's like, well, we can eat from the trees, except the one right there, right in the middle of the garden. We can't eat from it. In fact, if we touch it, we're going to die. And the evil one started with the spam. You're not going to die. God's on an ego trip. He knows that when you eat that fruit, you will know good from evil. You will become like God. And Adam and Eve bought the lie. They're like, you're right. God's holding back on us. And so they pick the fruit and they eat the fruit. They look at one another, made in the image of God. And they look at one another and they're like, this isn't enough. They felt distorted. They felt ashamed. And so they get fig leaves and they cover themselves up. Friends, since that day, we've been trying to cover up the shame with all kinds of things. Trying to recreate another image based on the spam, the junk, the garbage of this world. And what happens is we do that. We pull further and further from God, and we get further and further from the truth. You know, the truth that we're loved by God, that we're accepted by God, that we're secure, that we're significant, that we're created for a purpose. And here's what I want to say. At some point, you have to decide if you're going to listen to the world, you're going to listen to the spam, listen to the lies, if you're going to buy that stuff, or if you're going to start listening to what God says about you. Now, in light of the topic today, I thought I would give us some victorious secrets, all right? You guys are slow today. Friends, these are words not from an imperfect guy. These are words from God. And they should change us. First secret and thing that we need to know is we need to know what God says. The only way you know what God says is to spend time in God's word. You know, David talked about this last week, how important it is to spend time in God's word. Paul writes in Ephesians 3, he says, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love really is. In the Greek, the word understand there, it means to grasp, to capture. You know, Paul's saying that we are to be captured by God's love. We need to know how big God's love is, how deep it runs, that it is never ending, that it is unfailing, that you can count on it. And I believe when you understand that, when you realize that you are loved, you are cherished, it changes things for you. And we're going to look at a lot of what I call game-changing statements over the next few weeks. But I believe when you understand what God says about you, when you comprehend what God thinks about you, when you realize the price that God was willing to pay for you, when you capture that, when you fully realize that and accept that, it is staggering, and it's a game changer. You know, in other words, you don't have to worry and fret about looking just right. You don't have to hide behind the right pair of jeans or whatever, because God made you very well. God didn't make a mistake. God knew what he was doing when he created you. God makes it clear through Jesus Christ, we are accepted the way we are. You know, you may not be chosen by the world, but who cares, because you're chosen by the creator of this world. You are chosen. You are singled out. You are specifically picked. Friends, my prayer through this series is that we grasp how high, how deep, how wide the love of God is for us. You know, it's a new mindset. It changes the way that you think in your life. Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is in the message form. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. At some point, you have to decide who you're going to listen to. The world? Spam? You know, the magazines? The billboards? All the screens? TV? Computer? The haunting voices? Parents? Teacher and ex? Keep replaying over in your mind, over and over and over and over. What's it going to be? Paul says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceitful philosophies, which depend on human tradition, elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. It robs you. How do you start renewing your mind? I mean, how do you do that? You have to decide to stop listening to the spam. To the spam of this world. Stop listening to the magazine cover. Stop listening to the bathroom scales. Stop listening to the mirror that takes us captive. You have to decide that you will not be held captive by a piece of glass. You start thinking different. And you really need a spam filter. I mean, on the computer, you download software, don't you, to deal with spam? There's spam blocker, there's junket, there's all kinds of stuff out there. And it filters the junk. It filters the emails that's coming in, and it rejects them. It goes, this is junk, this is junk, this is junk. Yuck, get it out of here. You need a spam filter in your life. You know, they can filter out the world spam, can filter out the thoughts that pop in your head on a regular basis. I think Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 8, it's a great spam filter. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What are you going to think about? Thought pops in your head. You're ugly. You filter it. That's not true. Junk. Junk. You'll never turn on anyone with a body like that. Filter it. Hey, wait a minute. That's not pure. Reject it. You know, wow, I wish I looked like that. Filter. It's not admirable. Delete. I mean, you begin to kind of filter this stuff. Because when you realize that God loves you, period, just the way you are, when you realize that, I think what happens is it does affect. It affects the way you eat. It affects the way you drink. It affects the way you exercise. It affects the way you play. It affects the way you work, the way you spend your time, what you laugh at in this world, how you handle your resources. It affects absolutely everything in your life when you understand how loved you are. You know, when you can understand what God says about you, you ought to grasp it. You ought to memorize it. I mean, we spend so much time thumbing through the pages of Glamour and Shape and Vogue and GQ, Muscle and Fitness. And as you're flipping through, you're going, if I only looked like that. And I want to suggest you spend more time looking at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and you look at the person of Jesus Christ and what he had to say, and you find yourself going, you know what? If I only looked like that, that's what I want to look like. It's a renewal of your mind. It's a change. It's a switch. And what happens is the image starts to change. Here's a scripture I've internalized for years. I've made it, it's kind of a tent peg in my ministry. Psalms 139 says, for you created my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. You are made by God, friends. You were created. God, when God created you, he was excited about you. He had hope in you. He created you with joy and with precision. He decided what your skin color would be, what your, the color of your eyes, the shape of your face, your smile. He decided how much curl he was going to put in your hair. You are not a mistake. You are not a mistake. First, you got to know what God says. Then, you need to learn to see what God sees. You know, I believe it's one thing to be beautiful, but it's another thing to be beautiful. Do you ever see someone, no pointing, okay? Do you ever see someone that's like drop-dead gorgeous? You go, wow, she's beautiful, or wow, he's a hunk. And then you get to know them, and you go, they're not so attractive. How many of you remember the movie As Good As It Gets? Pretty good movie. Helen Hunt plays this waitress named Carol, and Jack Nicholson, he's this neurotic guy named Melvin. Melvin comes into the restaurant where Carol's working, and I love this line because Carol finally walks over to the table, and she goes, you know what? When you came in here, I thought you were pretty handsome, but then you opened your mouth. Beauty, handsomeness. It's kind of an inside-out kind of thing. It's how God sees it. 1 Samuel 16, Samuel is called by God to anoint the next king. So he's looking for the next king. And he's looking for someone that's tall and good-looking kind of guy. I mean, after all, image is everything, right? Even back then, it was an issue. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Change. How God sees things. I'm going to date myself. How many of you remember the show Sanford and Son? All right, I'm really dating myself. I love that show. Fred was always so funny. But he, do you remember his Aunt Esther? Oh, they were always fighting. And Aunt Esther was just nasty, mean, hateful person. And one episode, Fred, he comes rolling in the house, and he's got a whole big catch of fish he's got with him. And Aunt Esther, she's right beside him. And Lamont's like, hey, Pop. How'd you catch all the fish? He's like, well, I was down at the dock. Aunt Esther fell into the lake. Fish took one look at her ugly face, and they all jumped up on the dock. I picked them up. And I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to quote Fred Sanford. He says, beauty is skin deep. Ugly goes all the way to the bone. Theologically, that's not far off. In the Old Testament, there's another Esther. She's beautiful. I mean, all the way to the bone. She's beautiful. And it's interesting, if you read the story physically, her beauty must have been stunning because initially, it's what opened the door for her to be used by God. But her physical beauty, it's mentioned one time in the book. The rest of the book, it talks about things like courage, leadership, compassion. It's all about this, again, this kind of inside-out beauty, how she saved an entire nation from genocide. And I'm thinking, that's a beautiful person. That's a beautiful person. You know, by contrast, you take another beautiful person out of the Old Testament, a guy by the name of Absalom. He was one of David's kids. It says, now Absalom was praised as the most handsome man of all of Israel. He was flawless from head to foot. Now I'll translate that for you. As the girls would say, he was hot. But the rest of his life was not. I mean, this guy was prideful. He was arrogant. He was rebellious. He was a violent man, and he would suffer and die a very violent death. Friends, if you're going to get a handle on this whole beauty, outward appearance, obsession, you got to learn to see what God sees. It changes things. You know, 1 Peter 3:3-4, this is specifically was written to women, but I believe it applies to us guys as well. It says, your beauty, your handsomeness, if you want, should not come from outward adornments, such as elaborate hairstyles, the wearing of gold jewelry, or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. I want you to notice what the verse doesn't say, because people have tried to twist this one. It doesn't say, don't fix your hair. Doesn't say don't work out. Doesn't say don't take care of yourself. Doesn't say that it's wrong to wear jewelry or to have nice clothes. It doesn't say that. It says your beauty does not depend on those things. Beauty comes from the inside. It's reminding us that we ought to spend time working out on the inside. We ought to be doing stuff inside us. You know, here's a great fashion tip. You know, kind of a new trend, something that I think will always be in style. Colossians 3, verse 12 says, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in a wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. I believe we, as Christians, that we should help each other here. Encourage one another. Like, just walk up to someone and go, wow, humility looks good on you, girl. Man, you look hot with compassion. That gentleness, oh, it fits you well. Woo! Help each other out. Start seeing the things that God wants you to see. See what real beauty is, and then love the people that God loves. You know, if you want to get a grip on the obsession with yourself, if you're struggling in areas, you get your eyes off yourself. You just get them off yourself for a little while. You know, a young man asked Jesus one day, he said, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, love God. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Friends, when you start loving your neighbor, when you throw yourself into serving others, when you do that, it gets your eyes off yourself, for one thing, and it shifts your perspective. It begins to change your image. I've always liked Audrey Hepburn, late actress, but she had beauty tips, and they were really simple. She goes, for attractive lips, speak words of kindness. For lovely eyes, seek out the best in other people. You know, for a slimmer figure, share food with the hungry. For beautiful hair, let a child run his or her fingers through it once a day. And for poise, walk with the confidence that you never walk alone. Friends, if you're obsessing about the way you look, struggling with who you are, I want to suggest that you shift gears and you start focusing on your neighbors. You start loving your neighbors. Because I think it's really hard. If you volunteer at a nursing home, if you go in and you're working on the nails of a 90-year-old woman that has arthritis, don't obsess about how you look. You know, you don't care what your hair looks like if you're spending time and serving someone that's battling cancer. You know, you do not care how your clothes fit if you're under the hood helping out a single mom by fixing her car. You just don't care. See, you shift the focus. remember the first mission trip I went on. I was in college, went up to Chicago, and we're working inner city for about 5 days. And I remember all of us college students, we're studying for ministry, we all got on the bus to head up there. It was the sharpest dressed group of young people. We were decked out. We looked good. We got up there, unloaded, got our stuff put in our rooms, changed clothes, and we started working. And it was hot, and it was dirty. It was just dirty. And our clothes were covered with concrete and plaster. Some of us had paint in our hair. And you know what? We didn't care. Didn't matter. And I remember the next morning and every morning after that when we got up, all you had to do was look at us and know that we did not spend much time getting ready. It was frightful. But we just cleaned houses, just worked on porches. We're just doing what God had called us to do. Nobody cared about putting on makeup. Nobody cared how their hair looked. Nobody cared if we were making a fashion statement, because we got lost in loving people and serving other people. And I think that's what happens. Isaiah 58 says that if you share the food with the hungry, if you break the chains of injustice, if you do the right thing for people that are in need, if you do that, verse 8 says, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Your healing will quickly appear. See, you find healing in life not by focusing on yourself. You find it by focusing on others. You get way more out of it when you help others than you ever know. And we should reflect who God is. It's why you were made. It's why God created you, to reflect to the rest of the world who God is. Now, 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, he says, do you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, death of his son. So you must honor God with your body. God did not purchase you on a clearance rack. God made you. God created your body. His Holy Spirit has taken up residency in your body. Your body is the holy temple of God. And it's okay to decorate the temple. And it's okay to take care of the temple. You should. But we are to use this temple. We're to use this body to bring glory to God in this world. Paul writes, he says, so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. See the shift? Mirror, mirror on the wall. Friends, God uses us. People who had a distorted image. People who didn't even realize that they were created in the image of God. People that did never think it was possible that God would use us to reflect his glory. You know, there's a scripture I've been focusing on a lot lately. I don't know if it's because I'm older. Maybe perspective is growing, changing, I don't know. It says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. See, change. It's a shift. How many of you watch Biggest Loser? I catch it once in a while. My wife doesn't miss. She loves the show. And I have to say, as I've watched it, I've noticed that some of the people, when they first start out, there's some low self-esteem sometimes. They're really struggling. And then they change as the season goes on, and I think they help a lot of people. I think that show helps a lot of people. But it's kind of staggering. Near the end of each show, they always show the before and after picture. And sometimes when they show the before picture, I'm thinking, that's not the same person. I mean, the change is incredible. You know, the other day I was at my mom and dad's, and mom had some old pictures out, and there were some of me when I was younger, a lot younger. And I'm thinking, who is that? You would too. I mean, friends, first of all, I had a lot of hair. I mean, I'm talking a lot of hair, you know. But as sand through the hourglass, so are the hairs of our life, or something like that. Yeah. But I had a lot of hair. Looked like afro almost. And I was really thin, moderately buff. Now, Cindy, she reads through my messages and kind of gives me, goes, hey, why don't you talk about this, do this, change that, whatever. And so at this part in my message, she wrote, these are her comments. She goes, instead of skin thin and kind of buff, she wrote, skinny, Gumby-like physique. So I need someone to proof my messages in the future, but here's the deal. Let's just say I've gotten older, all right? The before and after picture of me, since I gave my life to Jesus Christ, amazing. I mean, back then, I had this pretty big head of hair. But I was ugly to the bone. Back then, I was in pretty good shape. But I made fun of people. Very insensitive. Back then, decked out, man. Latest fashion, latest trend. Clothes fit me well. But I was dressed in a lot of anger, a lot of envy, a lot of pride, a lot of lust. And friends, too often I let the evil one just distort who I was. Just let him steal my identity. Just let him take it. And I just kept trying to draw closer and closer to God. And God, through time, filled the holes that were in my heart. And he kept working in my life. And it's been kind of a soul makeover. The good news? I'm not done with me yet. And I'll tell you, since I started focusing on the inside, the internal, I can't wait till tomorrow. Because I get better looking every day. And that's how it is in your life, or can be. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you. You created fearfully, wonderfully, every single person here, God. God, I pray that we would just hear what it is you'd have us hear about, that you've said about us, that you believe in us. You created us fearfully, wonderfully, that you have a plan for our life, that you love us too much to just let us stay the same. God, work in us. Change us. God, you chose us. And I pray that we never forget that. And you paid a very high price. God, I'm eternally thankful for that. God, I pray that we'd never forget who we are because of Jesus Christ. God, minister to our hearts. Help us be the people you've called us to be, created us to be. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.